Obviously, there's a lot of talk about Ken's coaching during the year. How did you appraise what he did with the group, and I guess in the context of the finish?
Yeah, there has been, and we've chosen not to speak a lot about it through the season. We're very focused on the week to week performance of the team and letting that play out. It was a bit of a roller coaster 2019, wasn't it? In that we undertook a lot of change at the start of the year, really as a result of our disappointment of 2018. We changed the coaching group, we changed the playing list a fair bit, changed our game plan, and we actually got some interesting encouragement in the first half of the year. If you remember, we beat West Coast early over in Perth, and we saw the kids enter the AFL in pretty good shape. So we're pretty encouraged by all of that, and I think that if we were to look at the season overall, whilst we're disappointed with not quite getting enough games to play finals this year, because I think we could have been dangerous actually, we're a fair way from being where we want to be, which is a premiership contender. I think that the reality is that we understood that going into the start of the year, but that's what we try to do, is we try to build a club capable of winning premierships. The harsh reality is we won 11 games and the top four sides are at 16. So that's where we are. But having said that, I think we've made really significant progress in some pretty key areas that we're happy about.
So how does that relate to Ken and his performance as head coach?
Well, I think if you have a look at what Ken's done and the group has done, as I said, we introduced a lot of new players. They've done well. I'm particularly pleased with not the 18-year-olds who have it's obvious that they've got some talent, but the Darcy Byrne Jones and Dan Houston and Tom Cleary, these sort of players I think have really stepped forward. So there's been development in that area. We like that. The game plan is significantly different. We found in 2018 that we weren't able to beat the better sides. This year we proved that we were able to. Our best footy looked better, I think, and that's terrific. We also concentrated really hard on the connection of the group with Vossi and at the start of the year, and I think that held us in good stead. So overall, I think that, as I said, we're a long way from where we want to be ultimately, but we think that our trajectory is good. And I think Ken has to take a lot of credit for that.
So Keith, on radio, you basically guarantee that Ken will be coach again next year?
Ken will be coach in 2020, absolutely, and 2021, I believe. It's interesting. There has been so much conjecture and talk and all that sort of stuff. I haven't even had a conversation with Ken about it because he is contracted. We just let him get on with his job and do the work that he has to do. And as we end this year, as I said, I believe that we've taken, even though if you look at the ladder and you go wins and losses, it looks about the same. But I think that the landscape is significantly different as we end 2019 than it was when we ended 2018. And Ken has take a lot of credit for that.
What about Ken gives you confidence that he's the best man to lead the club?
Well, he's actually an outstanding game day coach. Phil Walsh, who we all revere, said that no one sees the game as well as Ken. So that's always been part of it. He has great relationships with his players. They play for him. I thought that yesterday, people talk about dead rubbers. It was far from dead from our point of view. We needed a response from the North Melbourne game, and we got it. We got an emphatic response, and I think that's that to us is an indicator that the playing group cares. That they're committed and they're connected. And I thought that was pleasing to see.
Keith, your future, will you stay on for 2020?
Yeah, no, I absolutely locked in. So uh, I. I feel like there's a lot to do. There's a lot of upside available to us. We've got a really important year coming up, 150th year for the club. It's important on a whole range of levels, but for us, this is the great opportunity to articulate some of the great things that Port Adelaide has been, but also to really shape what it needs to be in the future. And we feel like we've been doing that over the last few years with the investment into China and a whole our changing football program and those sorts of things. And next year is a great opportunity for us to put the spotlight on the club. And there's going to be some very exciting initiatives that come through. So I'm looking forward to that.
That letter you penned for members, what inspired that? And do you regret that at all? Or?
No, I actually think I don't regret it. I might have sort of brought a few more people into the loop before I sent it out. But I felt at the time that the conversation becomes so one-dimensional about winning and losing and Ken's future. What I was trying to say to our members is your relationship with this club actually is much more than that, and we have a responsibility as a club to engage with you, to embrace that relationship. And I reckon that maybe 2 or 3 years ago we were better at it than we are at the moment, and really it was my commitment to our members that we're going to get that better. And because as we go forward, we have to go forward together as a collective. We're competing against clubs that have got 75, 80, 85,000 members, powerhouse Melbourne and interstate clubs. So if we want to compete, you have to compete as a unit, that comes through sort of connecting and talking to each other, and that was the motivation.
So Keith, what are you expecting as possible off-season changes to get out of, a 9, 10, 11, whatever it is you've had a couple of years in a row now? What changes to get you out of that?
Well, I reckon that I had a quick look at the list today, and I reckon there was 15 players that have played in the last 2 weeks that you could expect significant improvement out of, and that's that under 23 group. We brush over these numbers. That is a really, really significant body of work that our list management and coaching team have done to position this club for future growth. I don't think we have to look any further than that on field. We'll have another year together of this coaching group. Three brand new coaches. If I had to put three new senior executives into my team, you'd expect there would be a little bit of a period of transition. So I expect that group will get even better next year. So I think all of that will occur, and off field, it's the agenda of our 150th that we're looking forward to, and reconnecting with our membership base. We're not silly. We understand that people have been impatient and thinking about ways in which we can go forward. All I would say is, be confident about what the future looks like. Now we're in the off-season, have a look at the things that we saw this year. We were able to beat West Coast and Geelong. We got within a point of GWS with a group that had 9 or 10 new players in it, with a new game plan. A lot to look forward to. And our commitment as a club is that we're going to rally up. We've got an SANFL grand final to play off in, I reckon, in the next few weeks. We're pumped about that program. Finish this year off strongly, and then we'll get into the new year with some real energy.
Ken, what about the financials? Where is the club at? Because you haven't had attendances. Are you going to have a bit of a loss this season?
Look, the reality is that our membership number was down this year. I think that's part to do with the disappointment of 2018. And the lack of momentum we were able to create this year to sort of reinvigorate the membership there. That hurts, no doubt about that. And our attendances followed a similar sort of pattern. But having said that, our corporate revenue is up. Our returns out of China this year will increase. So it's not all doom and gloom. Yes, those things put pressure on you. Our footy club has always been a low margin club. You know, if we shoot the lights out as we did in 2014, you're looking at a small profit. If you narrowly miss, you're looking at a break-even result. That's the range, and you know, we'd expect something similar this year, but it's not dramatic.
What do you say to the fans out there that have been a lot of restlessness with regards to Ken? What do you say to those that say, you know what, we can't? You might say you can't afford to get rid of him, but if you keep him, we're not going to come to the games, etc.
Well, it's not that we can't afford to get rid of him. We're choosing not to because we believe that he can build us a premiership team, and we think that he's an outstanding coach. So I would say it's a work in progress. These things are not, it's not an exact science. There's a lot of complexity in winning games of footy, let alone premierships. A lot of very, very solid decisions were made at the end of 2018 that we saw the emergence of something we think quite special this year. Didn't quite get where we wanted to get. Understand there's still a fair way to go, but we think we're on that track.
Keith, it doesn't sound like you anticipate too many changes then. Is it more stability being the key message then?
Well, I think stability, as you guys know, I'm a big believer in stability. This club is built on the stability of leadership, and but it's got to be the right leadership, and we're really confident that that's the case. As I said, I think it's really easy to brush over the amount of change that's gone on. I sat with Ken and Chris Davies at the start of the year. And we looked at each other and said, "Look, this is going to be a hairy ride, you know, because we don't know what this group's going to deliver." And as it turns out, we've landed almost status quo from the year before. And whilst that's not where we wanted to be, we thought we might have snuck a win or two more. It's not far off, and we're pretty pumped about what sits behind it.
How difficult is it then to stay the course? I mean, you're overseeing a program that missed finals the last couple of years. As you say, there's a lot of conjecture about who should go where.
Yeah.
Is it difficult to stay the course as a CEO and with the coach that misses the finals?
Certainly the pressure builds in Adelaide, and I know that the pressure was building on Ken and all of us to get results through the year. I think I've said this before, that you've got to be really, really clear about what you're looking at. And we're fortunate in that we actually have access to a lot more information, a lot more indicators that tell us that we could be confident about where we're going. And not everyone has that opportunity. So from where I'm looking at it, I'm comfortable that we're on the right track here. As I said, a lot to do, but I couldn't be more confident actually going into 2020 with the agenda that we've got, the playing group that we've got, and the coaching group that we've got. So I'm looking forward to it.
Okay, do you handcuff yourself as a club, sort of big sweeping like pre-season statements like we exist to play finals, and finals is the pass mark, and you're so positive about.
Yeah.
How it's gone
yeah.
so far and what's to come ahead, but you haven't made the finals. Do you handcuff yourself, and
yeah.
what does that do to a club in terms of building pressure?
Yeah, no, it's a good question. I think accountability and expectation is one of Port Adelaide's greatest assets. This club is uniquely positioned as a club with a winning culture, going back as long as we can remember. And as you walk into this club, you understand it from the very first day that's what it means to play for Port Adelaide. So we never want to hide from that. We never want to shirk from the aspiration to be outstanding at what we do. Can you always achieve it? No. That's the human reality. And when you don't, you stand up, you accept that, and you try and get better. And that's what we'll continue to do. But we never will walk away from the fact that this is what we expect. And we don't want our supporters to walk away either. So I think it's par and par for the course.
So when you don't reach, so when you don't reach that pass mark, I suppose, is it?
Yeah, so then you, what you have to look at, you have to critically assess what worked and what didn't work. And on balance, are we in the right direction here? And that's how we assess it. You know, and everyone has a different opinion about where you should be in that process. Right now, we're saying that we think that whilst the scoreboard looks almost identical to 2018, we feel like we are in a fundamentally better position than we were then, and we have great confidence going forward.
Get some clarity about the salary cap. There's a talk you're not using all your salary cap and can't afford to, and yeah. Also the players are rolling money on into next year. Just talk us through that, please.
Yeah, so we have a fully committed salary cap and TPP. What happens at every club, not just ours, is that you do back-end and front-end contracts, you move things around to suit the circumstances of the moment. And we do that, right? So, but we are a fully committed footy program, and they don't want for anything. Ask Ken, ask Chris. There's no truth in the report that we are not fully resourced. We are.
When you say so, but are you paying? Are you using the full extent of the salary cap though?
We are.
You are. Okay.
Yes.
Does that put you under pressure salary cap wise for next year and beyond because you've not paying as much this year,
etc. No, the pressure we've got is that we have some underspend from a few years ago that we would like to spend. You know, like at some point we're holding that back, and it's just a matter of when do we do that? That's the only pressure we feel. I think our list management group and our, you know, and Chris Davies from a football management point of view do pretty good job at making all of that work, and as I said, if you ask any of them, I don't think there's anything that we would put into that program that isn't already there.
Keith, players like Carl Amon, Sam Gray, Paddy Ryder out of contract, will you want them moving forward, and do you look at bringing, have you got enough money to bring another player from another club if you desire?
Yeah, look, it's a really difficult time of the year. Our industry demands that players move. Who they are, I'm not certain yet. Our review process is happening. Our list management team will decide on that. But we will have enough resources to do whatever we want to do with this program to make it better. I think that an educated position, perhaps, but I think that we're in pretty reasonable shape. I think I'm really pleased with our depth. We've got a Magpies program that is working really well. We've got players that are going back and forward into that AFL side and performing really well. So, you know, I don't think there's going to be really significant changes that are required here, but that'll be for Jason and the team to do.
Yeah, what role do you think the fan unrest around Ken has played in the drop-off of membership, and then is there a concern that failure to resolve that might result in more of a drop-off?
I think that's a really good question. I think that it's frustration out of our... I reckon that end of 2018 was really hard for our guys, our members to digest. If you remember, we were 11-4 and thinking top four at that point, having missed a... We lost a final in 2017 in double overtime, so there was really high expectation at that moment, and we fell away so dramatically. I reckon that had a really profound effect on the confidence of our members. So then we identified that we needed change from that program. We made that change. What that created this year was a lack of momentum. We would have a great win, then we'd have a loss, and sort of an undulating year, which is probably a byproduct of change, but it didn't help our ability to really engender that confidence to get people back on board. What I would say to our members, that those who are sitting back and waiting to be convinced, is next year's a really significant year. You're going to want to be involved. We are going to do everything we can to involve everyone in the club in this celebration. It's significant. And I think we're going to have a footy program that's pretty good to watch.
When are you expecting to announce things about next year?
I think we'll get through the analysis process that goes on. I think that'll happen throughout September, and I would have thought that we'd be really active late September and into October.
And the co-captaincy model, is that like a continuum to divide the fans a little bit?
Yeah, look, it did. It's a contentious issue for our members, and we understand that. Really difficult to get a handle on how well it worked. You know, Ollie was out for a lot of the year, and I think both Ollie and Tom really embraced it, and I thought that they executed it well. But we didn't get to see it a lot this year. But that'll be something we'll do probably in the new year as the program comes back. They'll look at the leadership model and we'll have that discussion then.
If things don't out the way you do expect for this coming season, do you expect that there will be a big shake-up?
Well, we're one day after the 2019 season. I haven't even contemplated that. We will do it as we always do it. We'll look at the circumstances as they present themselves. We'll make cool, calm, collected decisions about whether we think the circumstances around that performance are valid or not valid, and make decisions from that. But it's too early to be talking about that for me.
Keith, what did you make of talk that perhaps you were going to step aside, and did you ever consider that during the season?
No. I was. My wife asked me a fair bit. What's going on? Have you resigned? I think it was probably the nature of the letter. I don't think up until that point it was even a consideration, and I'm surprised that it was taken that way, to be honest. It was really a CEO taking responsibility for a relationship with our members, and I think that's reasonable. So, no, I'm really enthused. I think we've got a lot to look forward to, and as I said, we've got big plans for next year, and we want to get into it.
Keith, you said that you're confident you believe he can build us a premiership team.
Yes.
He's got 2 years to run on his contract with obviously a clause in 2021.
Yeah.
So does that mean he needs to deliver a premiership in 2 years, or are we looking further down?
Yeah, he's got an existing contract. If we think we need more time, we'll extend it. But right now, it's can we foresee a Ken Hinckley run football program delivering a premiership model? Absolutely.
And what gives you that confidence? I'll let you explain.
Yeah, I think that we have seen throughout Ken's career an ability to create a football program that is capable of beating the best sides. We saw it again this year, and I think that the list management changes that we made and his connection with this group will absolutely project us forward. I think he's a great coach. I just think it's really hard to consistently win at the AFL level, and I think many clubs have found that, and it's not an exact science, but right now I think that we're in really good hands.
He said if he didn't make funds in the near future, for a lot of conjecture, that he faced the boot. Do we have any clarity on when near is in that?
Well, yeah, he expects to make finals every single year, as we all do, and that's the value of Ken Hinckley. And we, as I said, we don't walk away from that. I think you're worrying a lot more about these things than I am. As I said, I didn't even have a conversation with Ken through the year about his future. What we're thinking about is how do we build a program that is going to contend, so long as we keep doing that and keep moving forward towards that goal, we'll keep it all together.
Thanks, KT.
Is that all right?
Thanks,
KT. Thank you. No worries.